Can you leave the introduction if you'd like to have a seat?
Oops, present, sorry.
Mr. Tedeschi. Mr. Hankins.
Present.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And Owen Egan.
Here.
Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted solely through the use of electronic equipment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The recording is entirely for everyone participating in today's meeting. Members who identify themselves first. That you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts this all review, it will be by roll call. I will conduct. Excuse me. Could you please mute your microphone? The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting, May 25th, 2022. I hear a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I will move adoption of the commission's minutes of the regular meeting of May 25th, 2022.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Unanimously. We will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are all publicly accessible on our website, which is at www.ct.gov/FOI and links the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will watch it.
Participate.
We will take up the case in order that they are called. First case is docket number FIC 2021-0140. Jan Golic, or Jan Golic, versus Angel Queros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Corrections, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, the complainant, Jan Golic.
Would like to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0428, Jan M. Golic versus Angel Queros. Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Pollard, would you like to be heard on that matter?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And the Department of Correction is present as well. Thank you.
I'm sorry, who's there for the Department of Correction?
This is Attorney Tracy Brown.
Thank you, Attorney Brown. You're there for the first matter as well.
I am not. I'm only here for 420-428. I believe counsel is on the line for
next is FIC 2021-06-0. 09, Pecan Turner versus Jason Cody, Chief Police Department, City of Fresno. This was withdrawn. Is there anyone here on this matter?
Yes, Attorney Natalie Fiola Guerrieri. For the respondent.
Would you like to be heard?
I don't need to be heard on it.
Is there anyone else here on this matter? Is Tyquan Turner there? I'd entertain a motion.
Now, Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Strader. As you mentioned, this was withdrawn and dismissed. No objection of the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Strader?
Yes.
And myself, Paul Monique, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Excellent. Number MIC 2020-0262, Paul Kowalski versus City of New Haven, et al. Anyone here on that matter?
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Kowalski, and if I may, I wish to read a statement for the record.
Mark that ready, and you can read it at the appropriate time. Is there anyone here from the City of New Haven?
This is Attorney Catherine Lamar, Deputy Corporation Counsel for the City of New Haven.
I'm sorry, I couldn't make out your name. What is it?
Catherine Lamar.
LA capital MARR. Thank you. All right, we'll mark that ready. Thank you. Packet number FIC 2020-0308, Matthew Olson versus City Attorney, City of Stamford, et al. Are you there, Mr. Olson?
Yeah, this is Matt Olson. I'm here, and I do wish to be heard.
Thank you. Is there anyone there from the City of Stamford?
Yes, Attorney Michael Toma for respondents.
Thank you, Mark, they're ready. Next, docket number FIC 2020-0537, Delia Otis versus Chief of Police Department out of Old Sabra. Anyone here on that matter?
Yes, that's Fred Dorsey for the respondents.
Attorney Fred Dorsey?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Is there anyone here for the Connecticut Examiner, or is Ms. Ott there?
Any other audience present here?
Would you like to be heard?
No, just listening.
I'm sorry, you don't wish to be heard, Ms. Ott?
No.
Okay. Does the Connecticut Examiner wish to be heard?
No, we have no statement. Thank you.
Okay. Attorney Dorsey, do you wish to be heard?
No, I was only here for rebuttal.
All right, so then we'll act on this. I'll take I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, sorry to interrupt Colleen Murphy here. This case, I believe, was consolidated with the next three matters. So it may be that somebody involved in those matters would want to be heard. That's the same issue in each of those four cases.
Okay. All right, we'll mark it ready. Next is Senate Paper for FIC 2020-0538 on NBC Connecticut versus you. Out of Old Sabra et al. Here on that matter.
Fred Dorsey still there for the Old Sabra.
Siobhan McGurl there, please. Marked out ready because it's consolidated with the next case of the case before okay, number FIC 2020-0573, Alfred Wilcox versus Chief of Department, Town of Old Saybrook, et al. Are you there, Mr. Wilcox?
I am here and I wish to be heard.
Dorsey, are you there?
I am, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right, that's marked ready. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0592,
am here and I wish to be heard.
Thank you. Is there anyone there from the Hearst Connecticut Media?
That's me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Freedom. Thank you. And how about from the town of Old Saybrook? Is that you, Attorney Dorsey?
That is, sir. Yes.
Thank you. Mark that ready. Next is it docket number FYC 2021-0350, Greg and Jean A. Thorne versus Chairperson Board of Police Commissioners, Howard Weston. Now, is there anyone there on that matter?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Nicholas Bamonte, Attorney Nicholas Bamonte, on behalf of the respondents.
Wish to be heard.
Mr. Chairman, I just have very brief statements in support of the proposed final decision, so yes.
I was going to move that it be that we act on it now. You need to be heard. This was a failure to prosecute.
Understood. I would just offer a quick update relevant to this dismissal to the commission, Mr. Chairman. I mean, if you want to permit me 3 minutes right now, I can certainly do so. I mean, that's as much as it's going to take.
No, I'll just mark it ready. Take it out.
Okay.
Thank you. Next is docket number FYC 2021-0425, Diana McManus versus Mayor, City of West Haven, head out. Are you there, Ms. McManus? Is anyone there from the City of West Haven?
Yes, Michael Leone, attorney for City of West Haven.
Mark this ready, Attorney Leone.
I don't need to be heard. I was here as rebuttal.
I'll call Ms. McManus again. Are you there, Ms. McManus? I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, since the complainant's not here and there's no objection of the respondent, this was a dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And Moni, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, folks. Have a good one.
Chairman, for everyone in attendance today, please be aware we are recording this meeting in its entirety, so there's no need to ask for a recording. It will be available on our website soon after the meeting. If you should have any questions or an ability to access it, please contact our office. Second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Handcuffing a prisoner, restraining a prisoner, disabled documents incarcerated by other staff, CTUs, and other modes of transportation. It is found that the Department of Corrections has forwarded to the department to be certain transportation directives. One was in reference to Administrative Directive 10.19. Americans with Disabilities Act,
and I believe there was a directive 6.4, which is called transportation communities provision of inmates. But none of these directives articulate with unequivocal language that states the procedures of a disabled individual. It omits and lacks any language that states how a disabled transportation is supposed to be given to a prisoner. Like if somebody was wheelchaired, do they have a special vehicle for that? And I have many municipalities and disabilities that causes me harm and pain and damage. And what I'm looking for is language where it says the complaint contended that such directives of language addressing chaining requested to be updated. Also, all I'm asking is for language that articulates for a disabled individual. Of the two directives they gave me, I believe it's 6.4 and 10.19, doesn't at all speak of any of this transportation accommodations for a qualified disabled individual like myself. And I require that for future transportations to courts, hospitals, and other areas. Thank you, Attorney. Attorney McCurdy.
Yes, thank you. I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. As is clearly laid out in Attorney Brogan's report, hearing officer's report, the evidence in the record shows that the respondent provided the complainant with all of the records that are responsive to his request. At the hearing on this matter, Counselor Supervisor Campanelli specified that a search was conducted, and the two directives that were found to be responsive were provided to the complainant. This was not disputed. At the hearing and again today, the complainant's argument is that our directives are not in compliance with the ADA. But this is outside of the scope of review of this commission. We do not concede any deficiencies with our directives, but merely argue for purposes of this hearing that all responsive documents were provided. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Strader, I move adoption here.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Strader?
Yes.
Myself, all in favor, yes. Passes unanimously.
Yes, I am, Commissioner.
Are you there?
Yes, Commissioner, I'm here.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Collins, would you like to begin, please?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you very much for the time. First of all, I'd like to quote Connecticut General Statute 4-170, Legislative Regulation Review Committee for Regulations, Section D, where it articulates, if a committee disapproves a regulation or part shall give disapproval for a reason for the disapproval to any agency, and no agency shall issue any regulation or directive or take any action implemented of disapproved regulation. Basically, every directive and regulation that the state of Connecticut uses comes under the Uniform Administrative Procedures Act, and they cannot be implemented unless under Connecticut General Statute 169, the Attorney General has to review also for its constitutionality. But on this docket, I just wanted to put that on record, that I was requesting responsive documents, directives, policies, memos, pertaining to modify lockdown, in which the criteria articulates governing outside exercise recreation of feeding times for incarcerated individuals. Prior to last year, to COVID, we were able to go outside during our recreation times. So recently, when they do modified lockdowns, they do not let us go outside.
when Executive Order 21-1 by Governor Lott was enacted early October last year, the union took a punitive measure on disallowing incarcerated individuals to be able to go outside to obtain fresh air. And under Directive 7.3, Emergency Plans, 7.4, Emergency Response Units, and 7.5, which were enacted in 2016 and 15. Prior to that executive order, we were able to have recreation during modified lockout outside. What the Department of Corrections is doing is a punitive measure that is disallowing us to have outside recreation through regular scheduled times where we have regular recreation, but unable to go outside. And it says that we're not allowed to have these three directives, 7.3, 7.4, 7.5, but this is not the language I'm requesting out of these directives. I want the updated list or any kind of language unequivocal that states that modified lockdown articulates that we cannot go outside or modify lockdown anymore. Prior to last year's executive order, there was no problems. All of a sudden, when we got all this free time and the PROTECT Act passed, all of a sudden, now they're discontinuing on our liberty interests. And I just want the language on modified lockdown. I don't want the escape plans. I don't want nothing like that. Just the language that states modified lockdown, we cannot go outside. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, sir.
Yes, it is. Good afternoon. Thank you, Commissioner. As I think you all are aware, the issues before the Commission are rather limited, but I should say as an initial matter, I believe that the hearing officer's report is well drafted. It is based upon the facts and evidence and the law, and it should be adopted. We request that it be adopted as written. But to address the comments of the complainant, it's not about whether or not the department is issuing punitive retribution or anything of that nature, because some other provisions that the legislature passed is not what it's about. Not that the department can see that any of the measures that it's taken to protect inmates during the pandemic have been punitive. The issue simply that the records requested by the complainant are permissibly exempt. Context is bound. The evidence in the record provided by Attorney Cavanelli will go to testimony demonstrating the dangers, safety and security risks associated with the collection of the responsive information, as well as the information that these documents were reviewed in camera by the hearing officer. So I think that the case is pretty solid, and the hearing officer's report should be adopted. And with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them. Thank you.
Complainant would like rebuttal. 1 second, please. Complainant, the commissioners have any questions? Mr. Wallace?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. I'm not asking for plans that will cause safety and security problems or anything like that. Just the language that says modified lockdown, you can't go outside. What kind of security measures is that? That we just want fresh air. They're just denying us fresh air. I just want that language. We were able to last 7 years I've been here, able to go outside during modified lockdowns. All of a sudden, we get this free time from Governor Lamont signing executive order, so they turn around and nail us on stuff like that. All I want is this fresh air language that says, and we cannot go outside through modified lockdown. That's all. Unequivocal language, sir. That's all.
Don't you wish to be heard?
I'm sorry, is that directed at me, Mr. Chairman? There's a bit of an echo and some kind of put on it from anything here. Clearly, I'm sorry. I have nothing further to say. The documents from the union camera, they were found to be responsive to this request as well as accept by disclosure for the reasons that are articulated in the hearing officer's report, and we have nothing else to offer.
Mr. Chairman, Colleen Murphy here. Just before the commission moves on this matter, I just wanted to offer a one-word change amendment. The hearing officer is not here, but I'd like to offer that to you when you feel it's appropriate. Very good. In paragraph 14, the third line, after the number two, comma, above, comma, the word would, replace that with the word may, and that will simply mirror the language of the exemption in the statute, which uses the word may instead of would.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I'd like to make an amendment per the request of the executive director. Paragraph 14 in the third line to replace the word would with the word met.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Yes.
Hankins?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Monique, and yes. Motion on the amendment passes unanimously. Is there any commissioners have any questions regarding the decision as amended? I'm going to entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the amended hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Yes.
Jenkins.
Yes.
Streeter.
Yes.
And O'Neagan, yes. One pass command unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Brown. Thank you, Mr. Goss.
Thank you.
We have docket number FYC 2021-0529, Dan Pollock versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Corrections, et al. There, Mr. Collins?
Yes, sir.
Or are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. Would you like to begin?
Yes, thank you very much, Commissioner. This matter on 2021-059, I'm requesting the records, the complainant requests the respondents to provide them a copy of all employee records from Cheshire Correctional Institution regarding the reasons for each employee absence at the time of notification. June 1st, 2021, until the present date. During this matter, I actually did not seek the names.
Hold on. People, please mute their mics. We can hear you speaking. Please mute your mics. Thank you. Sir, could you please mute your mic?
We receive some, you know, that are pro forma grants, but
I can hear you speaking. Would you please mute your mic?
Or the EOC, things like that. But, I think don't apply.
I don't know who's speaking, but I'm going to ask again. Would you please courteously mute your mic? Sir, we can hear you speaking. Please mute your mic.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear you, sir. Oh, yeah, I heard you.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, perhaps the commission office knows who's speaking and place them on mute.
Can we do that?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to ascertain who it is, but it's not showing up.
Attorney Toma? Attorney Toma? Attorney Dorsey?
I'm overtime every day. School is in uniform, and Mark Bruiser just driving through the campus.
Attorney Beaumont?
The 3M tape on the front window.
Yes, Attorney Dorsey.
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Attorney Dorsey?
Dorsey? Attorney Dorsey? Attorney Dorsey, if you can.
If he was in school, he couldn't be any safer.
It's not Attorney Dorsey. Let me try this. One moment. Okay, I just muted somebody.
Okay, that did it. Thank you, okay. Mr. Clark. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Okay. No problem, Commissioner. It happens.
Okay.
May I continue, Commissioner? Thank you, sir, very much. On the docket number 2021-0529, I was requesting the respondents provide copies of all employee records from the Cheshire Correctional Institute regarding reasons for employees' absence at the time of notification from June 1st, 2021 up until the present day of today. And in the officer's hearing report at the bottom, she footnoted number one, during the original hearing officer's matter, I was not seeking the names of employees, only the reasons for the absenteeism, which is no other than a logbook within the Department of Corrections. And this is would be outside the scope of Connecticut General Statute 18-101F, where it says any personnel, medical file, similar file, or current former employee, Department of Corrections, including, but not limited to the record of security investigation of such employee by department, or any investigation by the department, or discrimination complaint by any against such employee, shall not be subject to disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act as defined in 1-200. What I'm requesting is outside the scope of this statute, where I'm not requesting any personal or medical or any information pertaining to the individual at hand specifically, just a general idea and documentation on unequivocal why the Department of Corrections employees were out the last half a year, which I already know they were protesting pretty much at the Capitol, not to give us this extra liberty interest under the Protect Act, but they're supposed to be filed and documented by every facility of the Department of Corrections. And within Cheshire Correctional, I just require the reasons why the Department of Corrections staff at Cheshire was out during those times from the year 2021 of June 1st to present. No names, no nothing, commissioners, just the reasons why they were out, which I think pertains outside the statute of 18-101, because I'm not asking for any personal or medical file as it pertains in the statute, just the reasons. Thank you, Commissioner.
Attorney LaFleur.
Thank you. And at the outset, I would urge adoption of the hearing officer's report, but just to respond to a couple of the things that Mr. Golick mentioned, he did note that he did not want the names, and he did note that during the hearing as well, but that's frankly irrelevant. These records are protected under 18-101-101F, and that is with or without the names. These records are kept in the personnel file, as Counselor Supervisor Campanelli had testified, and the hearing officer noted that testimony. And as such, with or without the names, these records are still protected under 18-101F, which is a mandatory exception, not a permissive one. And with regard to Mr. Golick's claim that this is contained in a logbook that was not brought up on the hearing, during the hearing by him or by eyewitness. So the testimony is limited to the files that are in fact contained within the personnel records of our employees, and Counselor Supervisor Campanelli unequivocally testified to that. So with that, I would urge adoption of the hearing officer's report, which correctly notes that these documents are exempt from disclosure pursuant to 18-101-F.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Golic. Thank you, Attorney.
Thank you, Commissioner, for your time. Jan Golic, I'm going to hang up now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So next is docket number FIC 20-0262, Paul Kowalski versus Dave Duhaven. Are you there, Mr. Kowalski?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I'm Paul Kowalski.
Thank you. Are you there, Attorney Lamar?
Yes, sir. I am here.
Thank you. Again, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to read a statement for the record. At the first hearing, I was informed by Attorney Harmon that it was up to the City of New Haven to prove I was provided with everything which I had requested. Contrary to her beliefs, 2 years after I filed a formal complaint with the Freedom of Information Commission, I still do not feel the City of New Haven has fully complied with my request for certain records. Moreover, as it be repeated by Attorney Harmon on July 27, 2021, due to a misunderstanding, it became quite apparent that I was not going to be provided with any responsible materials. City of New Haven was going to be allowed to continue hiding behind the curtain of attorney-client privilege. I'm deeply appreciative of the efforts and time expended towards my request by employees of the Commission. I, however, believe Attorney Harmon is in error by stating the City of New Haven has promptly disclosed the requested records. Over 1 year after my appeal to the Commission, and 1 day before the June 2021 hearing, a box was delivered to my home, which contained approximately 1,800 pages, consisting mostly of multiple copies of materials, which I wrote, and a bag of garbage from Dunkin' Donuts, which filled coffee, stevia, and crumbs with the contents of the box. Now, Attorney Harmon claims this act was, quote, inadvertent. I claim the placement of this bag within the box was intentional, and together with the time it took to provide some, but not all, requested documents are examples of how the City of New Haven bullies those who differ with its activities. At the July 27, 2021 hearing, I was prepared to identify emails which I believe were still missing. But we remember the detail due to the manner by which I was treated by Attorney Harmon. As for missing emails, I still have not received a response from the city to my email of August 6, 2021, clarifying specific documents which were requested. The Commission was copied on this correspondence. Furthermore, I disagree with Attorney Harmon's statement contained within paragraph 22, suggesting that I, quote, issue a new FOI request to the respondent, end quote. It has been almost 3 years since Corporation Counsel for the City of Haven orchestrated a maneuver to force me to retire or face an unjust termination to provide cover for the mistakes of others regarding the issue of my poisoning. I was given 8 days to either retire or attend a pre-termination hearing, although no formal charges were ever brought against me. I do not deserve to be treated so poorly in 2019 by the City of New Haven, nor do I deserve to be treated in such a fashion at this time. The City of New Haven has prevented me from receiving documents and continues to do so. When I assisted my complaint with the CHRO, and to assist with the claim of constructive discharge. Now that too much time has passed from suit, and I still am not in possession of documents I have been told exist, my only remaining wish is to receive the documents which were requested over 2 years ago to protect my professional reputation when needed. At no time was any wrongdoing attributed to me, but my coerced retirement placed a cloud on my greater than 38 years with the New Haven Health Department and was headline news. Just by more, in volume 54, issue 5 of a local magazine called The New Journal, my name was mentioned twice in an article discussing lead poisoning in New Haven. This article described current activities of the New Haven Health Department, and fortunately, I was treated tangentially. Thank you for listening, thank you for your time and your consideration.
officer's report. I really feel compelled to respond to the accusation that the truly accidental inclusion of the bag, and I'm going to explain it to you because I was horrified. It was my fault. I was packaging up the documents, you know, trying to know, but a lot of documents that took a great deal of time to go through and review because a number of them were records from the Corporation Council. I had a cup of coffee and a donut, and I put all of the items into a bag, closed that bag, screwed it down tight, because I didn't want to leave during the pandemic that item in the trash can in City Hall to attract rodents, quite frankly. I had it on top of the box when I was walking out of the building, and it kept falling off, and I tried to, you know, frankly, it really fell inside because the lid kept falling off, too. I completely forgot about it, but I put the box in my car. I wrapped that box up the next day because it was pouring down rain in a clear plastic bag and personally delivered those records to Mr. Qualsky's home. I was mortified when he said that this bag had poured all over the items inside. I couldn't imagine how that could have happened unless someone opened the bag. I continue to be mortified. It was absolutely not intentional. This matter came up during the hearing. I apologized to Mr. Kowalski, and I'm still very embarrassed that that happened. It was certainly not intentional. No one has, to my knowledge, no one in the city of New Haven has bullied Mr. Kowalski. I am familiar with the reasons why he was put on leave. And therefore, that is why the matter was not, if it just went no further, and he had stayed, and you know, it was a matter that required the city to address a complaint from another employee. We had to, because of the city's liability, review that. None of that has to do with bullying Mr. Kowalski, and nothing will ever do with lead paint. And so, you know, that's his belief, and nothing is going to change that. But all of these issues were considered by the hearing officer over two hearings, including a continued hearing. And I regret that Mr. Kowalski has these views, but I can't change, you know, any more than I can change the facts. They are what they are. The hearing officer appropriately took them into consideration. I admitted to the fact that I was the person that, you know, inadvertently put this item into the box, and I apologize for it. I don't really think that there's anything else I can say. I continue to be very sorry. And it was absolutely not intentional. And I can tell you something else. As a lawyer in the state of Connecticut, I am not going to lie to this commission and risk my license to practice. We urge the adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Does Attorney Harmon wish to speak? I'm not requiring her to speak, but do you wish to speak, Attorney Harmon?
I guess, Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. You know, just briefly, you know, at the first hearing, the complainant came and indicated, as I indicate in paragraph 19, that he believed he was trying to save certain documents, certain emails, certain attachments. And so, because the respondents had been disclosing records to the complainant and believed that some of the things that the complainant thought were missing had already been disclosed, and counsel for the respondent said, just to be just identifies for me what he thinks is missing, I will redisclose it, or if I have redisclosed it, I will find it, I will disclose it. So, you know, I issued an order at that first hearing indicating, okay, let them know what you think you're missing by reference to sometimes what you received, because things were referred to in some of the documents that were disclosed that the complainant wanted. And the respondents were very receptive to getting that list and providing those documents to the complainant. So we had a first hearing on April 19th, 2020, the second hearing scheduled on June 16th, 2021 that could not go forward because of technical difficulties. So our second real hearing was on July 27th. So you know, the complainant had over a year to comply with that order to give that list to the respondents. And so when we got back to the hearing in July 27th, 2021, I asked
the file for Nancy Burton
provided as ordered over a year ago. The respondents represented that the complaint never gave them the list, even though, as you see in paragraph 21, they contacted him multiple times.
Reconsideration request at the end of the agenda.
We talked about the inadvertent putting all the 1,800 pieces into the bag that had some of the trash in it. There was an apology on the record. Not only that, there was a re-disclosure of all of those records very, very fast. So, you know, given all the circumstances, I think that the respondents did as much as they could do with the request, which was quite complicated. Given that we were in the middle of COVID, that city hall was closed, that council had to get permission to go in to use the software to pull up the emails to do the redactions that needed to be done.
Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the Hearing Officer's Report.
Commissioner Hankins, second. Your discussion. Hearing none. I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
All Hagan, yes. Passes unanimously. FIC 2020-0308 Matthew Wilson versus City Attorney.
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are you there, Mr. Thoma?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. I think we had to mute you before, Mr. Thoma. We could hear you talking.
No, that wasn't me.
Well, that wasn't you. Who was that then? It wasn't Dorsey. It wasn't, regardless. Anyway, thank you. All right, would you like to begin?
Yes, I want to start by saying the respondent does not object to the hearing officer's report, and I would like to reserve the remainder of my time to respond to complainant's comments if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rolfe?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, other members of the commission, I really appreciate your time this afternoon. Well, I appreciate, and I apologize for chuckling, but this is very frustrating to me. I appreciate the proposed decision is in my favor. However, I have very serious concerns about the wording of the 24 months order, starting on page 5. To give you a little background, I requested certain non-exempt records related to the law departments of the city of Stanford's activities for calendar year 2019. I might add that this is extraordinary public interest. I'm sure it's purely coincidental, but there has been much debate recently about former city attorney Emmett's spending during her tenure. On paragraph 1, on page 5, which is the order, so she restarts her numbers on page 5, just for clarity. Hearing officer Perlman stipulates the respondent shall provide an affidavit about whether bills and keeping records are stored in the respondent's value. Then and only then.
I'm listening, Tim, and I can hear you talk about the school and the
line
and the tape. I'm like, oh my god, that's it.
That is not me.
Oh my god, I'm just laughing. I'm like, oh my god,
Ben. Do you have any, will you mute everybody?
One moment.
Sorry about this.
Sorry, Mr. Olson.
No problem. No problem. It happens.
Thank you.
I'll start. So paragraph one on page 5, and just for clarity, she restarts her numbering on page 5 when she gets to her order. So I'm talking about the order on page 5, paragraph 1, Craig Perlman, signaling the respondent shall provide an affidavit about whether bills and keeping records are stored in the respondent's medical. That and only that are they ordered to produce those records. So, again, despite the city's, I don't know if that works out, I'm sorry, the bizarre and, sorry, I thought I heard someone else talking. So, despite the city's, and again, I apologize, frankly bizarre and very expensive defense. And as hearing officer Perlman noted in her proposed decision, my request was indeed plainly worded, right? I requested using the word specifically, timekeeping expenses, budgets, and bills for calendar year 2019. I presume the information, I have reason to believe that the information is stored in their matter or case mail. But as I plainly stated in the request, either from the matter management system or whatever mechanism they use to store those records. I don't believe the commission has authority to limit the source of records, and it's order a respondent to only make records responsive if they sit in a particular IT system. Therefore, I respectfully request that the commission amend the error officer report. The first two sentences of page 5, paragraph 1 should be removed and replaced with something to the effect that the respondent shall provide all records related to timekeeping expenses, budget, bill, or calendar year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
I am, Commissioner.
Could you address that comment, please?
Mr. Olson's request, and also like at the hearing, he repeatedly said he wanted it from the matter management system, and there was a lot of testimony about this matter management system, and that is why it's the order is limited to the matter management system and not for whatever mechanism your department uses to manage legal matters. If the commission wants to expand it beyond that, that's it's in your discretion. But again, I based my order on the wording of the request and also the testimony that was provided at the hearing. And I believe there was, give me one moment. I apologize, I'm just trying to find it in one of his communications to Mr. Olson's communications to the respondents, he specified matter management system. So in paragraph 4 of the findings, he referenced the matter management system. So taking all of that into consideration, that's why my order is limited to the matter management system.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so I just want to clarify two things. First of all, I didn't offer any testimony in the nearly 6 hours of hearings, so I'm not quite sure what Attorney Form was talking about. Almost the entirety of the 6 hours of the two hearings. So we had the first hearing that went a full 2.5 or 3 hours and it was continued. We had a second hearing that went a full 2.5 or 3 hours. I never testified. I gave an opening statement. I gave a closing statement. So the overwhelming dialogue was presented by the respondent. So if they focused on the matter management system, that's on them. My request speaks for itself. And I think there's been a lot of attempts, both the 14 days is effective. You know, the respondents play a lot of word games and they try to split hairs over semantics and create their own narratives and try to reinterpret what the request was. The fact of the matter is, this was in mediation with the ombudsman for a year. The request was clarified ad nauseum. They understood what was requested. The request is very plainly worded. It speaks for itself.
Chairman, may I be heard, please? This is Attorney Toma. Respondent believes that the order as worded by the hearing officer is correctly based on the facts adduced at the hearing. The plain language of the request sought records in respondent's matter management system, and a broadening of the order would in essence be a broadening of the request beyond the terms of the request. So I do believe that the order as worded is appropriate. Thank you.
May I respond to that? Again, the commissioners can read this for themselves, right? It states the matter management system or whatever other mechanism they use to store those records. It is crystal clear. I did limit it to the matter management system. This is a game being played with semantics by the respondents. I just find it very unfortunate. Again, I go back to, I'm not sure that the commission has the authority to limit the source of records. One requests information, one requests records, and the respondent has to provide those, right? I don't know how that, you know, they can play games about, you know, what system it might be in or where it might exist. Is it in this building and not in this building or this system or not that system? I don't know if that's really within the purview of the commission. The records have been requested. I believe the hearing really exposed my right to view those records, and it was frustrated, and that was ordered by Attorney Perlman, Hearing Officer Perlman. I have the right to those records, and you know, it shouldn't matter where they happen to be.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I will move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neagan, yes. Passed unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Tolman.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, it's John Einhorn. I'm afraid I've got to leave early at this point.
Thank you. Appreciate all your service.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Chairman, this is the one, this is Colleen Murphy again. This is the one that is combined all four matters, and I believe that two of the four complainants did wish to be heard, but that the other two did not. So perhaps we could hear from them.
All right, so I'll read off the other matters as well.
I think that would be good.
A motion to
I don't think so. They were all consolidated for hearing. Sorry to interrupt again. Mr. Chairman, there is one more matter. The next matter as well, 2020-0592.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry about that. The docket number, FIC 2020-0592, Megan Friedman and First Connecticut Media versus Chief Police Department, Town of Old Saybrook, and now is Attorney Dorsey. You're here on that matter for Town of Old Saybrook, correct?
That's correct.
Is Megan Friedman there, please?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, you're there. Would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Would like to be heard as well. Okay. Are you there for the First Connecticut Media?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we have four matters that are consolidated, and I'll repeat their last four digits. And docket number ending in 0537, docket number ending in 0538. Docket number ending in 0573 and docket number ending in 0592. And the only two people that wish to be heard are Alfred Wilcox on docket number ending in 0573 and Megan Friedman in docket number ending in 0592. If that's incorrect, speak up now.
Mr. Chairman, Frank Dorsey, I would like to reserve the right to rebut.
Besides Attorney Dorsey, Albert Wilcox, and Megan Friedman.
All right. All matters are consolidated. Attorney Murphy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to let Mr. Wilcox begin. Mr. Wilcox, on matters 0573, would you like to begin?
Thank you very much. I am Alfred Wilcox, one of the four consolidated complainants here. And let me know if I'm holding the microphone from my speakerphone too close. The hearing examiner denied my request to review the police department records, stating that I was asking the commission to enforce my private right to view the records in my capacity as a member of the town's police commission, and concluding that this commission lacks jurisdiction, close quote, to enforce any private right. But the FOIA statute says, and I quote, any person applying in writing shall receive, on request, a copy of any public record, possible, and section 1-212A. The statute doesn't differentiate whether the person is a newspaper reporter, a curious citizen, or an interested public office holder, and the record is clear that I am, in fact, quote, a person, close quote, because I testified to that at the hearing without contradiction. The only real issue here is whether the uncorroborated allegation exception for police department records applies. Before focusing on that, though, I think it's important to point out that none of the other specific and narrow exceptions for police records is even claimed to apply. We are not dealing with a juvenile, an informant, a sex crime, etc. We are only dealing with a claim that the records sought, quote, would result in the disclosure of uncorroborated allegations that an individual has engaged in criminal activity, close quote. This language compresses together the relevant language of section 1-210B3H and section 1-216, to which section 1-210B3H refers. In both the cases, and the hearing examiner agreed that it's appropriate to approach it this way. So the question one has to ask is, what and where is the allegation that an individual has engaged in criminal activity? There is no allegation by a citizen alerting the police that either Rebecca Roy or C.J. Roy engaged in criminal activity. There is no arrest warrant alleging that either C.J. Roy or Rebecca Roy engaged in criminal activity. There is no police blotter stating that the Roys engaged in criminal activity. Instead, there's a phone call from a citizen alerting the police that a man wearing a striped shirt in a small SUV driven by a woman was stealing a street name sign. So far as the record shows, the citizen didn't describe the man or woman by height, weight, skin color, hair color, eye color, or any other meaningful particular. So far as the record shows, the citizen didn't describe the striped shirt as to what colors the stripes were, whether they were broad or narrow, whether they were vertical or horizontal. And so far as the record shows, the citizen was unsure of the make of the SUV, and he was unsure of the color of the SUV. What the record does show is that the citizen stated with assurance that the SUV had Rhode Island license plates. And importantly, what the record also shows is that the Roy family's car had Maine license plates. I think you can take judicial notice that Maine and Rhode Island plates look very different from each other. So the only allegation the record shows actually excludes CJ and Rebecca Roy from being the potential thieves of the street name sign. In other words, a citizen reported that someone other than the Roys stole the street name sign, and that was actually corroborated. The police ultimately agreed that it wasn't the Roys. However, the hearing examiner would conclude, without ever explaining what the allegations were or who made them, that the, quote, uncorroborated allegation exception applies. The only potentially logical explanation for this conclusion lies in the hearing examiner's statement in paragraph 16,
and there is no paragraph 16 in the report that pertains to Mr. Wilcox. So I think that the report in this case with regard to Mr. Wilcox was based on the fact that he was making a request to see the records at issue because of his status as a member of the Board of Police Commissioners. And I determined that we don't have jurisdiction to enforce that, but that's all I determined in his case. Just to be clear.
The cases are consolidated, and I'm speaking to all of them. If I may continue.
Attorney Murphy.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that is at your discretion. Certainly appreciate Attorney Harmon pointing that out, as I was just realizing that as well. So, but I think at your discretion, you could allow some additional time to comment, since it does involve the same records, and the primary reason for withholding is this uncorroborated allegations exemption.
All right. I'll allow Mr. Wilcox. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was saying the hearing examiner's claim that plaintiff cited no basis for such proposition, and the commission is aware of none, that's not so. At the hearing, I argued that the FOIA statute itself says that an uncorroborated allegation is an allegation that an individual, with emphasis on that, has engaged in criminal activity, close quote. And I argue that that specificity is important. The statute was enacted to protect the reputation of a person who was wrongly accused of engaging in criminal activity when that allegation turned out to be uncorroborated. Thus, the statute doesn't refer to some individual or any individual or some unspecified individual. It refers to an individual. And the reason for that specificity is that the purpose of the exception, to protect an individual's reputation from undeserved harm, can only be served if that person is identifiable. After all, by definition, an unidentifiable person's reputation cannot be harmed. Moreover, the exception is not intended to shield all records, and I also argued this at the hearing. It's not intended to shield all records of police investigations from public scrutiny, nor is it intended to shield all records of police interviews from public scrutiny, nor is it intended to shield records of police interviews when the police lie to a suspect about what other witnesses have said in order to extract a confession or admission. For example, if the only allegation is a misrepresentation by the police in the course of an interview of a suspect that some witness has identified him or her as the perpetrator, that shouldn't be viewed as an uncorroborated allegation deserving of being shielded from public scrutiny. Quite the contrary, shielding questionable police conduct from public scrutiny turns FOIA on its head. In addition, as Chief Sparified testified at the hearing, 90% of cases the department handles don't involve accusations against a known identified individual. Most cases involve leads that have to be followed, potential suspects who have to be investigated and ruled in or out, would turn the exception into the rule, also blaming on the FOIA statute's intent. And last, I would ask you to consider this. If the statute's reference to an individual is interpreted as applying to any individual, then it would be easy to corroborate the allegation. Suppose the allegation here simply was that someone stole a street sign. The police came, they looked at the pole that used to hold the street sign, and saw that it was missing. Now the allegation has been corroborated, so the exception wouldn't apply. The hearing examiner's findings and conclusions should be rejected, and the claimed exception should be denied, so that I and the public can know exactly what went on here. Thank you very much.
Yes, I just indicate that all the arguments that you heard had to do with issues that this particular complainant did not raise in either his complaint or in his arguments. His arguments were, as indicated by
by the hearing officer directed to his status as a police commissioner. And even if it weren't, his argument that he has given you today with regard to the commission's long-standing, multiply explained and articulated by the commission over the course of a couple of decades, is that this fits exactly into the allegation that is provided for in the exception. And the arguments that you've heard are basically specious and don't have enough to make the preponderance of evidence on a brand new issue before the commission, let alone a long-standing pattern of decisions of the commission that go the other way. And I would indicate that this is more of a personal claim than any kind of protection of the public. So if we're going to look at who needs protection and who should get protection, it's not this particular complainant. That's it. Thank you very much.
May I respond briefly? I'm sorry, is that an affirmative?
Would you like to respond?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, please.
If Mr. Dorsey had read the record of the hearing, he would know that I argued every one of the points I just argued here. The reason this, I think, went off track is that when I first asked to see these records, the chief asked, what was my purpose? And I said, I'm a member of the police commission and I want to know what went on here. I said, I'm not asking for a public record, meaning that I wasn't going to publicize this. I wasn't going to write a letter to the editor, but I wanted to find out what had happened here. And that's all I knew right then, and I think I didn't need to explain that, but I am too polite to tell the chief to go pound sand. He doesn't need to know why I'm asking for them. So I think that's a red herring, and I'm sorry that it has perpetuated itself like this. Thank you. That's all.
Excuse me, this is Megan Friedman here. I haven't spoken yet.
I know, Ms. Friedman, you have both next, but yeah. That's what I'm asking.
Yes, I think we should proceed
with Ms. Friedman. Okay, I apologize.
This is Colleen Murphy. I believe we should proceed with Ms. Friedman.
Against CJ Roy. If the invention of the panel, it is
is difficult to imagine a situation where police could not invoke it. All they would need to do in the course of any investigation is allude to a crime that has been committed, and their body camera footage would be exempt. I believe the intent of the FOI exemption at hand is to protect citizens from wrongful allegations that could harm their reputation, not to shield police from accountability. I ask you to reject the recommendation because upholding this decision could allow law enforcement agencies to easily abuse this exemption going forward. And lastly, there is one more concern about this case I would like to share. In my original Freedom of Information request, I asked for all Old State Police Department footage of the visit to the Royds, the incident report associated with that visit, all correspondence the department and or police commission received regarding the event, and all associated complaints. Yet, hearing Officer Herman's report states, in-camera review, the department provided only a flash drive containing a 911 call and two officers' body and dash camera footage. Thus, the department appears not to have provided all relevant records. That seems to mean not only that there will not be a decision with regard to those unprovided records, but that Officer Herman may have lacked information that could have impacted her decision. This commission may decide that a general uncorroborated allegation that a crime was committed and not a specific allegation against a person is sufficient to invoke this exemption. I hope the commission does not decide this. But if it does, the remaining records, which were not provided for the in-camera review, may contain information corroborating the allegation that a street sign was, in fact, stolen. That, in turn, could have implications for this case. That's all for me, and thank you again very much for your time.
Thank you. Attorney Dorsey.
Some interesting statements provided there, but not provided at the hearing. And when we look at, I did look at the records, and I have heard all of the arguments that Mr. Wilcox and Attorney Freeman have raised. And these are the same arguments that have been raised time and time again before the commission. It's not time to overturn the commission's old decisions because these people don't like the way it turned out. They don't want it to be applied to them. That's all they're concerned about. And that's not the appropriate way to enforce the Freedom of Information Act. Thank you.
May I briefly respond? Information, if not all, was brought up during the hearing, so I just want to make that very clear. I'm not sure what Attorney Dorsey is referring to.
I'm referring to the most doesn't mean all, so you're admitting that you didn't bring up all of them.
Wait, I'm not
going to
allow
it
now. Thank you, I appreciate it. All right, do any of the commissioners have any questions?
It was me, Mr. Chairman, Attorney Harmon.
Hey, Carmen, do you wish to be heard on any of the remarks made by either Mr. Wilcox or Ms.
Just very briefly, Mr. Chairman. So with regard to Mr. Wilcox's case, you know, I have the request to the chief for the records, the same records, basically. And then I have the acknowledgement and the denial. And then I have Mr. Wilcox's response saying, you know, I'm not requesting a public release of these records. Rather, as a member of the police commission, I want to review them so that I can do my job, basically, as a member of the police commission. So we have Supreme Court case law on those kinds of requests that, you know, we're here to enforce the public's right of access, but not a personal right of access. So I really couldn't go any further with Mr. Wilcox's request. With regard to the other three requests, particularly the Freedman request, I have to say honestly that when you look at paragraph 11 in docket number 2020-0592 and the allegations that the complainants made, which were generally the same for all of the complainants, that the allegations were not specific enough to identify a particular person, and that the exemption should not be applied to allegations arising out of a police department's investigation. To be quite honest, I was very persuaded by these arguments at the hearing, and I, of course, came back and reviewed all of the case law. And upon reviewing all of the case law, I realized that, you know, it doesn't seem to matter where the allegations come from, whether they come from a citizen calling the police or they come from, they arise out of the investigation of the police. So I read the case law and I thought, oh, boy, I was persuaded, but now the case law seems to be indicating otherwise. So I still wasn't convinced because I was so persuaded. So I pulled the legislative history of 1-210B3H and the legislative history for 1-216, all of it. And I read it from A to Z. And what I learned in the legislative history is basically, you know, the allegations don't have to come from a citizen to the police. They can arise. It was contemplated that they would sometimes arise through the course of an investigation. The way the police conduct their investigation could be construed as an allegation against someone. So the fact that, you know, this happened to arise in an investigation really wasn't going to carry the case. And also, you know, the fact that it was generalized, I think a lot of times things are generalized when they come into the police department, and then the police, you know, conducts its investigation. So I really, the report that I wrote was not the report that I thought I would be writing after the hearing, but it was the report that I was forced to write upon reviewing the case law, reading the legislative history. And I just know one more thing. In one of the exhibits that the complainants actually submitted, there is a statement by the Roy family that says, we do not want the uncorroborated allegations, or something to that effect. We do not want these records disclosed. And while that's not dispositive or determinative as far as what the law is and how the commission should rule, it really is the purpose for which these statutes were created. You have an investigation or an allegation come into the police and someone is accused of doing something and it turns out that they didn't do it. The statutes are meant to protect those allegations from becoming public and, you know, soiling someone's reputation. So I thought that I would just mention that the Roy family did have that statement in the exhibits that I did see. And to be honest, I really scoured cases and the legislative history, and I felt that this was a decision that, based on my review of the law, that I really had to write. Thank you.
Sorry, this is Megan Freeman. With all due respect to Officer Herman, I do have some information that may actually correct the Roy family's wishes, if that's, it's okay to share.
You know, I this is Attorney Harmon again. I only mentioned that like I said, their wishes about what happens with these records is not dispositive or determinative. But I did see in the records that they said they didn't want the records released. And whether they've changed their mind or they've, you know, come to some other position with regard to the records, these statutes were created to prevent the disclosure of uncorroborated allegations, whether they arise from a citizen calling the police, whether they arise from police's investigation. So I think that, you know, what I had were records that contained uncorroborated allegations, and I really felt like I was boxed in based on the case law, based on the legislative history, that I could not order disclosure.
Right. No, this is not regarding them changing their mind.
Not going to allow any further comment. Thank you. Any other people
about the record?
Mr. Chairman, Colleen Murphy, I just wanted to ask the hearing officer if she could just address that point raised by Ms. Friedman about the other records that appear to have been requested in paragraph 2 of 2025-92.
Sure, Attorney Harmon again. You know, I list in paragraph 2A through 2D what the complainant requested. And my in-camera order to the respondents was to give me all responsive records in camera. I got the records in camera. I looked at the records several times in camera. I kind of did generally what they are. When I issue an in-camera order, I expect the respondents to give me all the records. I don't know that there is a report that I didn't get, but I don't know how that could help me in this case because of the fact that the allegations in this case are uncorroborated, so I don't think it would really change the decision in any way. Someone was accused of doing something who didn't end up doing it, and so here we are. But I did ask for everything to come in, and I got the records. I received what I received in camera, and as is my practice, I always kind of describe what I received, and I did that in paragraph 13. I missed anything that came in, and I did order everything, so.
Perhaps Attorney Dorsey could address that.
Sorry, Attorney Murphy.
I was wondering if perhaps Attorney Dorsey could just indicate whether those sorts of records have been searched for and if they exist or not.
Attorney Dorsey?
Well, yes, sir. All I can tell you is that the clients have indicated that they did do a search. So I did not do the search. I was not there. And I have no personal knowledge other than what my clients have told me.
Okay, and they represented that they provided everything to the commission?
They provided everything that they understood the commission was asking for, yeah.
This is Mr. Wilcox. May I speak to that briefly?
That's all. I just wanted to hear on that point. Thank you.
Any of the commissioners have any questions? Okay, I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I will move adoption of the hearing officer's report in MIC 2020-0537, 2020-0538, 2020-0573, and MIC 2020-0592.
This is Commissioner Hankins. Second is all four.
Motion's been made. Second, is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Cohen-Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you all. I appreciate your cooperation.
Thank you, sir.
Number IC 2021-0350, Greg and Jen Haygard versus Chairperson Board of Police Commissioners. Are you there, Greg or Jen Haygard? Are you there, Attorney Pumante?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, I mean it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon again, Commissioners. Again, Nicholas Pomonti, and I represent the respondents in this matter. This proposed final decision is effectively a dismissal due to lack of prosecution due to the complainant's failure to appear at the last scheduled hearing. We do support the proposed final decision because it does accurately represent specifically, the communication received from the complainant just prior to the last scheduled hearing, in which he did state that he would be refiling a complaint with this commission if the hearing could not be continued. So I would just like to report to the commission that the complainant has, in fact, gone ahead and filed similar new document requests with the same response.
understanding is he has already filed new complaints related to those requests with this commission. So I am just reporting that it appears that the complainant here is still at least attempting to pursue his day in court, so to speak, on these issues. And for these reasons, the respondents do support the adoption of the proposed final decision. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second. Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
No one needed yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Belmonte.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners.
So you have before you a petition for reconsideration from Nancy Burton in a case that was decided by the commission, I believe, on May 11, a couple of meetings ago, 2021-0258. And as you know, to reconsider a matter, people have a right to request a reconsideration, but there are certain grounds that you have to establish, either an error of fact or law that needs to be corrected, that there's new evidence that has been discovered, or there is other good cause shown for reconsideration. And after reviewing Ms. Burton's petition, I did not see any of those grounds as applicable here. And for those reasons, I would recommend that you deny the request for reconsideration, but I'm happy to answer any questions. And I think the hearing officer in the original case may be on here as well if you had any questions. But my recommendation is to deny this request.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions for Attorney Murphy?
No. No, it's the Supervisor Hankins. I think Attorney Briggs's, Staff Attorney Briggs's objection, it was even briefer than Attorney Murphy's statement. And, I agree with the objection, and Attorney Murphy's statements.
You go ahead, Chris.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yes, this is Commissioner Hankins. I would deny the claimant's petition for reconsideration and sustain the Department of Agriculture's objection.
I'll second that. Commissioner Streeter.
Motions are made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing
no, sir.
Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Streeter?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Today we don't have any new report under pending appeals. Under the executive director's report, I'll just report that our reopen team is continuing to work on going back to in-person processes, including looking at this hearing room that I'm currently in, almost alone, not completely alone, and looking to get our commissioners back in person here, as well as the parties and members of the public. So we're looking at a number of things relative to that, and our hope is to still do this sometime in August, if possible. And we will prepare for you some ideas that we have about how we should proceed so that you can see what we're thinking we're going to do, and I hope to have that to you by the next meeting, if not then the very next meeting after that. So I think that's all I have under that report. Under staff reports, I'll just report for now that we have had the good fortune to have Attorney Barbara Housen rejoin us temporarily, and she has already been in our office and is familiarizing herself with our remote processes right now, and I think Barbara is on the line here as well. So I just want to welcome her. I think a few of our commissioners probably remember Barbara, but we're glad she's going to help us with our backlog. And we do have two new staff members starting on the 17th, a paralegal and another lawyer. So all good news on that front. Under legislative report, I didn't speak with Paula, but I don't think that there is a report at this time. If there is, Paula, jump in now. But I don't think so. And then under new business, no new business. So I'm all set unless you have any questions for me.
Chairman, good afternoon, Commissioner. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Well, welcome. Thank you for joining us again. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
And then we're going to have two new members of our staff in on the 17th. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yes. Great. Wonderful. All right. Is there anything else from anyone else?
I don't have anything.
All right.
No, thank you.
Entertain a motion to adjourn then, please.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, one of the three. I move the meeting.
Second.
Second.
Yes, Mr.
Commissioner Hankins, second, please.
Okay. Motion to debate, second. All those in favor, I'll take a roll call. Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Agent, yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your time and your patience today. Great job.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yay for Barbara.